Okay. We're holding to the second line from the top of Kalteya Medal. We learned with the mission had talked about Nidre Havai, the darting where you're exaggerating or saying something which may even be an outright falsehood, but still something the person himself knows is not true, and the Nedr we said is not Chav. One of the examples was we said that the person says that I'll make a Nedr if I didn't see on this road as many as the Olim Mitzrayim, as many as those who came out of Mitzrayim. So the last thing we said was, so okay, maybe he didn't see that many people. What if he saw that many ants? And in his mind, he's thinking of them as people, and was saying that then the Nedr would be Chal. Hello? No, there's that over there. We're over here, you know. Yeah. Sorry, now.
We were waiting to
see up. Yeah. Yeah, because I figured, you know what, though? I mean, then there's still Mincha and Meir to deal with. People not having Mincha, you know, so. Like this, let them have their party over there. We can be learning over here. I don't know. You know. Okay. Anyway. Okay, so I was just summarizing where we left off yesterday, that we had the situation, what if the person made, when he said his neder, what if he meant as this number of ants? That he's thinking of these ants as people, and he's saying and saying that I saw 600,000 of them, and he said, fine, but you don't make a shvua or a neder on your own daft, you make it on the daft of the other people that you're speaking to, and we don't think of ants as people. That's where we're up to. The second line of Hafei Manal.
Even if we did,
no, a normal person doesn't think of. Now, when we had, for example, earlier we had Nadr b'cheirem, and he says that cheirem may not mean a cheirem as such, it may mean a net. Fine, but the word cheirem has normal meaning of net. Some people do use it in that sense. But nobody, no. Forget to what Tilim, actually it does. I don't know if Tilim does, but whatever. There's places in Tanakh, Al-Kenny, Zabayah, L'cheirem, yeah, there are stuff in that use Mitzodim b'charomim, Kossig and Mishla, yeah, there is such a thing. It doesn't matter if Sukkim anyway, but Nidarim Holochacha Lashim Neyadim. By Nidarim, you go according to the common Lashon of people. Yes, the common Lashon is a Chayrim means some kind of Isser, but they also use the word Chayrim in other contexts to mean a net. Whereas nobody speaks of ants as being people. Okay. Question is, Valdaita Dinapshila Ovidimish Inish Dimishtaba. So you're telling me then that a person does not make a Shavua just based on his own das, based on his own understanding? Well, Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Shehen Mashbino, you say when they make a person swear in Beistin, you should know that you're not making the Shavua based on any Tanai in your own mind. You're doing it based on our das, and on the das Beistin. On the side here it says instead of das Enu, it's really supposed to be das Hamakim, the understanding of the Eivishter. So don't think there are any loopholes. Don't think that you're making the Shrua. You're making the Shrua and you have your fingers crossed or you have some other kind of loophole that you're thinking, no, where you're taking the Shrua, you're having, the understanding of the Shrua is going to be the way we, the Beistin, understand it. La Pokimai, now what would that be coming to exclude? Lavla Poki da Asaklulu is Sundari. Wouldn't there be a case where wouldn't it be the reason why Beistin has to do that? Because what are we saying? That Davka when they're being Mashbiya him in Beistin, they say that we're being Mashbiya you are Das Beistin. Why? Because otherwise, what would be the possibility? What would be an example of something that he could do which would be considered Al Daita? Right. For example, the asik lahula is skundri. The person could be taking chips of wood or whatever that people use for game. The asik lahun shmozuzi, he calls them coins, and then he claims that I paid back. I owed this guy 100 zuz, and I paid him back. But really, all he did is he gave him a bunch of wood chips. And therefore, they're saying when you're taking the shura that you paid him, you can't use such excuses. So we're saying you have to take the shvur on our das. That means that other than that, yes, a person could be making a shvur based on his own das. So we're back to the question: why, given that the person might have thought in his own mind, I'm thinking of these ants as if they were people, then why wouldn't such a shvur be valid or such a neder? Why is the Mishnah saying as a blanket statement such a thing as a nidre havai, and nothing happens? It's not a neder. The answer is loy. No, that's not the kind of thing that the statement that based in that it's al datein of al das based in. It's not coming to prevent him from doing that kind of thing. That kind of thing we could say you don't even need based in to tell him that. Anytime a person makes a shavua in the presence of other people, he's doing it automatically based on their das. So therefore, the point is, there's no way that he can get away with an excuse saying that I consider these chips of wood as if they were coins, because it's not based on your das at all, even if they don't tell him. Rather, la puki mekanya deraba. Rather, the reason why Beis Din is telling him that the reason why Beis Din has to tell him that you're not doing it on your own das but on our das is for a different situation. The case of the stick involving the rubber. What was the case? Dahu gavra davamasik bechavrizuz. There was a certain person who was owed money by somebody else, and the guy wasn't paying up. Also, kamei deraba. So they came to rubber. So the malva says to the loiva, pay up. The loiva says, I already paid. Omele rova, okay, so rova tells him, fine, you're claiming that you paid, you still have to swear. In that case, go swear to him that you paid him. Now, there's two possible ways that he could be, there's two possible kinds of shvuas that he could be doing. It could be that the Gemara is just saying that he's claiming I paid. Does that mean he's saying I paid everything? Or maybe is he only saying I paid part of it? If he paid part of it, that makes him a moedim b'mikta. Then he has to swear min atoda.
He paid.
Wait, but what do we mean over here? We're not necessarily the way the Gemara is telling the story. We're not necessarily getting into that level of detail. Given that the next part of the story involves him holding a sefer Torah to swear, the Ram says that implies that it must be he wasn't claiming that he paid the whole thing. He must have been claiming that he only paid part of it. Because otherwise, if he claimed he paid the whole thing, he would be a kofer hakel. I mean, atoda, there's no shavua at all. Only midrabanan is there a shavua tesis. So such a case. And a shavua tesis, the Ram says, you don't hold the sefer Torah. If we're saying that the man held the sefer Torah, obviously it has to be he's swearing a shavua midaraisa. There are other Rishonim and Achronim who disagree with that, though. They say that maybe even by a Shavuot Hesed, you would hold a Sefer Torah. Or Shavuot Hesed is the Shavuot Midrabanan, basically. Actually, there's really two different kinds of Shavuot Midrabanan. There's cases, we've talked a lot in Ksuvos about Midaraisa. You only ever swear to pater yourself from payment. A shomer, for example, who the thing got lost or stolen or what have you, swears that this is what happened, and he's puzzled. What's another case in the Torah of somebody who swears murder mitzvah, yeah, where Reuven claims you owe me 100, Shimon counter claims I already paid you 50, or I only owe you 50 in the first place. That's a murder mitzvah, and then also he has to swear when I told him to be puzzled from the rent. There's no such thing the deraita where you swear in order to collect money. There are various cases where the rabbanan made a takana that you swear in order to collect money. We had a lot of those in Sudas. You had, for example, a case over there called Chanvoni up in Kasa, where you first of all we have a case Chashad al Shavur where you flip it around to the other person. We have the case of a woman collecting her kasuba that she has to swear Chanvoni up in Kasa. The case where an employer tells his employees instead of me paying you directly, go to so and so's store and buy stuff on credit and I'll pay him, and then afterwards he claims that they took from him and you the employer owe me. The workers claim that we never bought anything from the store, therefore you still owe us. Whatever, you have a variety of cases when Rabbanon, somebody swears in order to collect money. And then you have the case of Shavuot Hesed, which is a Shavuot Hesed is sort of a lesser degree of Shavuot Rabbanon. And in some places in Shavuot, the Gemara mentioned that the takana of a Shavuot Hesed was made in the middle of the time of the Amoraim. So the earlier kind of Shavuot Rabbanon, we have Mishnayos referring to it. So it existed already in the time of the Tanoim. The Shavuot Hesed, like what we're saying over here, that a Kofer Hakel swears, that was instituted sometime during the time of the Gemara. Anyway, the point is, the Ran is saying a Shavuot Hesed, because it's a low-level Shavuot, you would never be holding a Sefer Torah. If we're saying over here that in the story that the man was holding a Sefer Torah, then it has to mean that he was a Moedim Mitzvah. That's the Shavuot Torah. We haven't gotten to that part of the story yet. I'm going a little bit ahead. So you know what? Fine. If you want, let's finish the story and then we can discuss this point. Okay. So go swear to him that you paid him. Ozal, so the man went, Tanya, he took a stick, a hollow stick, the Yoiv Zuzibigabe, he put the money inside the stick. And then he walked into the basin, leaning on the stick. Bamboo or some, it may have been a regular wooden stick that had a hollow in it, whatever, You know, in Masechta Kalim, actually, it talks about various cases of things that are makabel tumah. One example over there is a stick that has a hollow in it to hide a diamond or to hide a mezuzah. There are various reasons why you would want to put a diamond or a mezuzah inside a stick. One idea being, if you're, in the case of the diamond, if you're trying to evade paying taxes on it, for example. In the case of the mezuzah, one explanation is that people used to carry around mezuzahs in their walking stick for protection. This is the source of the minhag. This is the source of the minhag that ever talks about it sometimes, of keeping a mezuzah in your car. Anyway, the interesting thing that the Mishnah says there, Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai says about these and various other kinds of cases, Oylim Oymar, Oylim Loy Oymar. Woe to me if I say these dinim in public, because then people are going to learn from this, oh, you know what, this is a good idea. I can do like this. I can take a stick and hollow it out and hide things inside it, and nobody will be the wiser. On the other hand, Oylim Loy Oymar often convey to me if I don't say the din, because then people are going to think, people who do these kinds of trickery are going to say, oh, the Chachamim don't know what we're doing. So what happens in the end? The Gemara in Bava Kasra says, in the end, Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai said, fine, we're going to teach these dinim. People might learn from them to cheat. You know what? Yisharim dafei Hashem, the ways of Hashem are straight. Tzadikim yelchubam, tzadikim go in them the straight way. Or poshim yipashlubam, the poshim, the sinners stumble in them. So fine, people are going to use this information for bad. Can't be helped. You still have to be taught.
Why, when one way or another, they can... Oh.
Yeah. Anyway, the point is that yes, you can have it. So it didn't have to be Davka bamboo stick, which is naturally hollow. It could have been a regular stick that you hollowed out. Whatever it is, doesn't really matter. He put the money inside the stick, and now he comes into basically leaning on the stick. Amalei l'malva, v'asiyah l'lebedina, and he comes into the basin. Amalei l'malva, he says to the malva, nekotai kanya b'yodach, please hold the stick, please hold my walking stick in your hand, because I need to take the Sefer Torah. I swear. Nosav Sefer Torah, v'ishtabit depari kol ma'ad ha'ava l'lebedina. So he took a Sefer Torah and swore that he had paid him everything that he had in his hand. Whatever the malva had in his hand. Well, that's what he was using it as a trick.
But the creditor didn't know that.
Right. As a matter of fact, the Ran actually changes the girsa over here. The Ran says the correct girsa is not the ishtaba de pare, that he that swear that you paid him, because it's true, you can't consider that paid. But rather, what he swore was, do you have a sloth zorah, that I gave you your money? I did give it to you. Wait. Rogaz, so the malzah got upset. What do you mean, you gave me the money? You're blatantly lying. The tavra lahu kanya, he broke the stick. He threw the stick down on the ground and broke it. The ishtapacha huzuzi la'ara, and all the coins came rolling out. The ishtakach, the kush, the ishtaba. It turned out he had sworn truthfully. The Medrash in Vayikra Rava tells a story. Also, there it tells that the Dayan was one of the Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael, and it gives the man this trickster over here gives him a name, Bar Tamalion. That's his name. Although we do find in a couple of places we find a Gemara in Meila that tells a story involving a shade. Who was something of a trickster, also something of a jokester, whose name was also Bartimalian. So maybe Bartimalian was like a nickname for people who try to play shtick like that. Whatever it is, anyway. So the bottom line is that when the guy is swearing in Beis Din, it's not you have to tell him that we're doing an al-dateinu in order to prevent him from claiming, you know what, I gave you chips of wood and I'm claiming them to be coins. That you wouldn't need. You wouldn't need them to tell him that. You need it for this kind of case where he gave him the stick full of coins, then he's going to take it back at the end and claim, well, look, you know, I swore truthfully I gave it to you. I did give it to you. You didn't know. That's your problem. Now, so going back to the matter over here of what kind of shvur was this. So again, the Ran says we have to be talking about he hadn't claimed that he paid everything, because then he would be Kofer Hakol. Kofer Hakol only has to swear a Shavuot Hesed, and a Shavuot Hesed, you don't hold a Sefer Torah. Must be he was a motive mixer. He was claiming I paid part of the loan. Where then he'd have to swear Deraita. On the other hand, other Mepharshim talk about first of all, they talk about that maybe even when you're swearing a Shavua Tesis, maybe you do have to hold the Tekah Torah. Or some of the Mepharshim, the Meiri, for example, points out, maybe technically he didn't have to hold the Sefer Torah, but look, I mean, that was all part of his plan over here. How else is he going to get the other guy to hold the stick without claiming, look, I have to hold the Sefer Torah. I'm a frum guy. I'm not going to swear a shvur without holding a Sefer Torah. Are you talking? So therefore, you know, that's all, part of the play act. Fine. Still, you're telling me that when a person makes a shvua, there's no possibility that he has in mind his own interpretation of the word. He has the interpretation that a regular person would understand. Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. Thus, also this kind of thing that when based in makes a person is going to make a person swear, but they tell them, be aware that you're not doing it on your own daf, you're doing it on daf based in. Similarly, thus we also find with Moshe Rabbeinu, when he made the Jewish people swear in Avos Mayav to accept the Torah. Omalahem, similarly, he tells them, you should know that I'm not making you swear this Shavua on your own das, where again, then later on, you could claim that you understood the terms differently. But rather, it's according to my own das and according to the das of the Eivishter. As the Pasuk says, not only with you alone. So what does that mean? How do we learn from that? The Ram says, loy itchem levadchem means not only the way you're thinking. The simple meaning of the pasuk "Lo yitzchem levadchem" is I'm not only making this shavua with you, I'm making it with all future generations as well. But the Ram explains the point of it is we also learn from it "Lo yitzchem levadchem." It's not only you, meaning it's all up to you how you understand the shavua. It's rather up to how I and the Eibush understand it. Other Mepharshim talk about a different idea. If he said even according to
that's
the
pasuk, that's a mucker.
Well, that's how we see that Moshe was doing this. Yeah. Not necessarily from that. We learn for other cases, but we see that Moshe Rabbeinu did that kind of thing. Other Mepharshim say the vart is more according to the pshat of the pasuk. Since the pshat is I'm not only making this shavua with you, but with all future generations. Well, the future generations, obviously, they're not born yet. They don't have any other thought of what this shavua could possibly mean. Necessarily, therefore, it has to be according to what I'm thinking. Therefore, for you also, it can't be according to what you're thinking. It has to be according to what I and the Eibishter are thinking. Tosus, by the way, asks a question there in Shavuot. How exactly does that help? The Gemara is going to say soon, the point of the Shavuot was that he doesn't want, for example, they're going to worship idols and claim that that was part of the Brit. Well, if they're going to violate the Torah and worship idols, so they could just as well violate the Shavuot. So Marsha says over there that the difference is that here we're talking about the Shavuot is to accept the Torah itself. Until they take the Shavuot, they're not obligated in the Torah. So yes, without the shavua, if they violate the Torah, then there's nothing to hold them to. The very fact that he's making the shavua is what holds them to keeping the Torah. There's different other explanations also, one of them being that in general, even if people may be careless with Avodah Zarah or whatever, fine, you know, the Gemara mentions in Sanhedrin, for example, if people were over to Avodah Zarah, not really for itself, but in order to have an excuse for Aliyah, people tend to be careful about shavuas. So the very fact that they took the shavua itself, It helps strengthen things. Okay. Now, we have to consider, my Omel of Moshe Yisrael. Now, Lechura, what is Moshe telling the Jewish people? Lav Hachika Omel of isn't it that he's telling them as follows? Dilma Avitun Mili, you might go and doon, or Avitun, actually, the Agar Tabak says, you might do something, or you might violate something that the Torah says, Ramitun Al Datenu, and you'll say, well, this was our understanding of what the Brit involved. Mishum Hachi Omel of Aldaiti. And therefore, we have to tell them that, no, it's not according to your understanding, it's according to mine. Now, let's ask.
Moshe
Rabbeinu, yeah. And the Eibishter. Now, again, let's ask. Lapukimai, what kind of possible misinterpretation does Moshe have to forestall by saying that? What kind of possible misinterpretation? Wouldn't it be, for example, that they might go worship an Avodah Zarah, give it the name Elika, call it God, and say, look, you know, you told us in the Shavuah that we should worship God. Fine, we're worshiping God. Mikval de Ovid Inish de Mishtaba Adai Pidinapshe. Thus, you see that, yes, a person can be making a Shavuah according to his understanding. The answer is no, you don't need that, because Avodah Zarah is called Israel attack. Because as a matter of fact, yes, Avodah Zarah is called a god in some places. Just if, we call it like Kemet Shaim. It does say, the Pasuk says, for example, for the gods of Egypt. So we see that, yes, that it is. It's not just al-Dapay, and you were like before, we were talking about seeing a bunch of ants and one individual person calls them people. Here it would be more like the case of the Seder. It is a very common usage. Yes, when you tell somebody worship God, yes, the natural understanding would mean the one God, Hashem, but it could equally mean a God, as in the gods of Egypt or whatever. Or not equally, maybe, but at least it is a potential thing. So you can't prove from that if there's some understanding that maybe one person out of a whole 600,000 thinks of that Moshe has to forestall that. No, he has to forestall something which even the Torah itself uses the word Elika for this kind of usage. So again, you still can't prove anything from that about a person making a shvua based on his own individual understanding. Because if he's just trying to make sure that they don't worship idols, for example, and claim, it's not considered. All we're talking about over here, all this time we're talking about Adaita Dinafshe, means what one person thinks. One person sees a nest of ants and thinks of them as people. But to say, when Moshe is saying, worship only God, worship only Elika, and it's a very common usage that Elika could equally well mean an idol of some kind, then fine, you could have many people claiming that's what Moshe meant. So that you have to forestall it for that reason. Not necessarily because of something that one person might think. Yes, the Mo goes through the possibility. If that's the case, then why does Moshe need to say Al Daiti Valdas Samakom? There's a more explicit way to do it. There's a more explicit way to prevent them from doing any such thing. The Lashva Yasa Mekaimis and Mitzvah. Let him just make them swear that you'll keep the mitzvahs. Obviously, the mitzvahs include the mitzvah to not worship idols, so that'll cover it. The answer is no. Mashma mitzvahs hamelach, because they could still argue that the word mitzvah means the mitzvahs of the king. What do we mean the mitzvahs of the king? Well, what do we mean the mitzvahs of the king? So Rashi says over here, it does mean the mitzvah, or if I say Rabbeinu Gershom, whatever, it does actually mean the mitzvahs of Hashem, but not all of them, just the ones that are incumbent on the king, the special half a dozen mitzvahs that apply to the king. That you have to write a paper Torah, they're not allowed to have too much gold and silver, etc. Not necessarily, would it include anything else? Yes, other reports should say that mitzvahs HaMelech might mean the commands of the king, but not mitzvahs of Eishtim. Okay. Velashva Yasa and Mekaimis and Kol Mitzvahs. Fine, then let him say the shvua that you'll keep all the mitzvahs. The answer is that still doesn't work. Mashma mitzvah tzitzis. That could still imply that they're just taking on themselves, that they'll keep the mitzvah tzitzis. Because the Amamar, Shkula mitzvah tzitzis, connected to mitzvah Shabbat Torah. We say in the Gemara that tzitzis is equal to all the other mitzvahs in the Torah. The famous thing about tzitzis adding up to 613. So even if he said, I'm making you swear that you'll keep all the mitzvahs, and if he had not mentioned this thing about al-daisi, al-daas ha-makim, there would still be a loophole that they could argue that you didn't actually mean that we should keep all the mitzvahs. You just meant that we should be careful with this. Okay? V'lash v'yasa and mekai misim Torah. Fine, why can't he make him swear that you'll keep the Torah? The answer is mashma Torah achat. That still doesn't work. That can be mashma that they'll keep. That will keep one Torah. Only Torah Shabbat. What happens to Torah Shabbat there? Fine. V'lash v'yasa and mekai misim Torah. So then fine. Say Torah in the plural. The answer is no. Mashma Torah Mincha, Torah Prata, Torah Osham. The word Torah, in the Torah itself, when it uses the word Torah, not always does it mean the entire Torah. Sometimes it means the group of halachos that apply to one particular thing. Zoyt ha-Torah la'ola la'mincha la'chatos, for example. Zoyt Torah sa'osham, Zoyt Torah sa'ola, whatever. So each of those group of dinim on one particular korban can be called a Torah. So Torah would imply, fine, we'll be careful with the dinim of some of the korban. Nothing more than that. V'lash v'yasa and nemekai mitzvah Torah and mitzvot. Fine. So why don't you say that you'll keep the Torah plural and the mitzvot plural? Shouldn't that cover all your bases? No, still not. Because again, Torah is mashma Torah something. So again, Torah can mean still the Torah of individual korbanos. Mitzvot mashma mitzvot hamelach can mean the mitzvot of the king. You still haven't made sure that you're covering all the 613 mitzvot. Okay. V'lash v'yasa and nemekai mitzvah Torah kula. Fine. Why did he make them swear? Why did he make them swear that he'll keep the entire Torah without, and still at that point he shouldn't have to say al daisi val dasamachim? Because Torah kula surely would include all the mitzvahs. Then Torah kula mashma avodas kachavim. That they could understand to mean that Dafka will be careful about not worshiping idols. Fine. Worshiping idols is an important mitzvah, but still. The Tanya, as we learn in the Braita, Chamura Avodah Tuchavim is a very serious matter. Somebody who denies Avodah Zarah is as if he admits the truth of the whole Torah, and vice versa. Also, somebody who accepts Avodah Zarah is as if he's denying the whole Torah, because the Gemara prefers to use a positive expression.
There's more in Torah than just denying Avodah Zarah. There's more positive
mitzvah. Well, in a way, yes, but on the other hand, the same way as we said that Tzitzit is equal to all the mitzvahs, Avodah Zarah, well, I mean, for one thing, you know, I'll be Chassidus, it's fairly easy to understand. But Avodah Zarah means that you're saying that there's some other, that it just means that you're saying there's some other power or some other existence in the world other than Eibishter. The whole Torah is based on the idea, Einoid Milavadah, to say that the Eibishter is all that exists. Avodah Zarah negates that. So yes, believing in Avodah Zarah negates the whole Torah.
Negate negative
parts,
not the positive.
No, it negates the positive parts also, because the mitzvahs are mitzvahs of the Eibishter. The Eibishter wants us to. That's what I'm saying. All of them do, in the sense that Avodah Zarah is saying, I don't believe that the Eibishter alone runs this. Well, then you're not believing in the Eibishter. So who gave the mitzvahs exactly? You know, the same idea as why, you know, the Tzemachedek explains at the beginning of Mitzvah Tamonas of course in Derech Mitzvecha, the Machlokes Rishonim is. Do we count the mitzvah to believe in the Eibishter? Do we count that as a mitzvah, as one of the 613? One way of looking at it is no, because belief in the mitzvah presuppose somebody who's giving those mitzvahs. If you don't believe in the Eibishter, then you don't have any of the other mitzvahs. It's a prerequisite for all the other mitzvahs.
It is, but on the other hand, you have mitzvahs that don't need kavanah. And you still
need
to.
It doesn't matter if you don't need kavanah. You still have the you know, you may not need kavanah for the actual mitzvah, but still you're doing the mitzvah is it has to be something that the Eibishter commanded.
Yeah. So you have the mitzvah that he commanded, but you don't need any kavanah.
But you may not have kavanah, but you have to know that the Eibishter commanded that mitzvah. If you're not believing in the Eibishter, nobody no. No, we're not saying Mekayim, we're saying Kila Moidev HaTorah Kula. It's like admitting to the truth of the whole Torah. Right? Kila moide ba Torah kula. Chamura ba Torah kula. Kila moide ba Torah kula. Okay, right. But the point still is that Avodas Kechavim counts. When the Pasuk says, V'chit tishku v'loit sasu es kol ha-mitzvot ha-eila, and at the end of Parashat Shlach, it means that the person worships Avodah Zarah. So yes, the person who worships Avodah Zarah is considered as though he didn't do any of the mitzvot.
But the opposite is not reversed metric to that, right? The fact that he didn't do, the fact that he does it, doesn't mean...
No, but if he's telling them, you have to be Mekayim, all the mitzvahs. So how do they do that? They're Mekayim, the mitzvah to not worship Avodah Zarah, and by that, that one mitzvah is the equivalent of Kol HaTorah. No, it doesn't mean that they've actually been Mekayim all the other mitzvahs. But it means they're Mekayim, that one mitzvah, let's say, for example, fine, let's say that they include, I mean, there are Esther's involved as well. There's the Esther of destroying Avodah Zarah, there's the Esther of destroying an Irani Dachat. Fine, you know, and he helps Avodah Kechavim of the Rambam. He has two mitzvahs Esther and 49 life Esther's. So fine, you're going to keep those two mitzvahs Esther. You're going to be actually keeping them. You're going to be destroying an Irani Dachat, and you're going to be destroying Avodah Zarah everywhere it is in Eretz Yisrael. And since we're saying Avodah Zarah is the equivalent of Kol HaTorah, then you'll say, you'll get away with the excuse. There, we kept Kol HaTorah.
So you are Chol Shabbos, you still consider keeping, and you're doing that,
You're misunderstanding. Not that it's considered like you kept the whole Torah. You've kept one mitzvah, which is, in a sense, the equivalent of the whole Torah.
That's what I'm saying.
But it's not the same thing, though. As a matter of fact, you have been Mechal Shabbat.
So you didn't keep the whole Torah.
No, but you kept one mitzvah, which is the equivalent of Kol HaTorah. You could, the people could still argue. You made us swear that we're going to keep Kol HaTorah. Fine. We understood that to mean, it's a reasonable understanding to say, given that Avodah Zarah counts is equivalent to all the other mitzvahs, that it means be careful with Avodah Zarah, and by doing that, all the other mitzvahs are not important.
So
That's an argument that they could make. We're not saying that that's true, but we're saying that's an argument that they could make. Moshe thought to forestall that argument. But even if he tells them that you're going to be Mekayim Kol HaTorah, that still doesn't help. Because they can argue that by keeping Avodah Zarah, effectively we've been Mekayim Kol HaTorah, we didn't actually keep the other 611 mitzvahs. Doesn't matter. We kept the couple of mitzvahs, we kept the couple of mitzvahs involving Avodah Zarah that are considered the equivalent of Kol HaTorah.
It's virtual.
Yeah, virtual. Fine. Okay, virtual. So that is fine. Okay, but that's, yeah. Okay. But it's an argument that can be made. You know what? There's a reason why they say that Jews make great lawyers, right? You know. Hey, how about Belish by Yasa?
They say they. They're
somebody else's lawyers. No, come on. Come on. Okay, Belish by Yasa and Mekayim Mitzvah, I better call them Vitara Kula. Fine. Why don't we try another tack? Let Moshe tell them, I'm making you swear that you will keep the Mitzvah of Avodah Zarah as well as the whole Torah. So that way, obviously, you're including everything else.
Okay.
Inami, or another possibility, Moshe could say straight out, Sheish Meir for Shloish Esrim. That's why can he say that you'll keep the 613 Mitzvahs. So therefore, you don't really have a proof. Ella, it's true, it could have. Ella Moshe in a Milsa Dolei Tzrifa Nakat. Moshe just wanted to say something fairly straightforward. So instead of going into that kind of level of detail like this, he can say, I'm making you swear that you're going to keep the Torah. I'll die deep, I'll die some longer. And that way, instead of having to go into the details of it, it's order 613, whatever. The Ran brings over here from the Gemara and Shavuos, where it has this whole sugya as well. The Gemara finishes off over there that in that case, then it would be good enough for him to say al daiti. Why does he have to add al dasam makim? And the answer is by adding al dasam makim, he's adding an additional thing that they shouldn't think they can be made here, that they can cancel the Shavuos. Like this, you can go and cancel a Shavuos in Beit Din, but like this, if it's done al dasam makim, then he can't. It is al-dati, it's on my understanding of what the Shavuah entails, and it's also on the Das of Eishim. By saying al-dati means you don't have any loophole, and by saying al-dati mokib means you also don't have the loophole of going to Beis Din and being master of the Shavuah.
And you would say, without al-dati, it's not possible.
He could have said al-dati mokib. Come on, okay, so that's fine. One other thing in this, by the way, that may well be.
They would not have believed.
Going back a bit, by the way, when we said it toward near the beginning of the discussion, we said that Moshe is concerned if he just tells them serve the Eibishter, serve God, then they're going to claim that the Avodah Zarah is God. So Mepharshim asked the question: why can't he tell them serve Yudkei Vavkei? The actual shame of the Torah. So Mepharshim give a few different possible answers. One of them is that Moshe didn't want to use the shame of the Torah there in public and speaking to the entire Jewish people. We know the shame of the Torah is supposed to be kept private, Zeshmila Elam. Number two is the possibility. Actually, the Gemara mentions in Shavuos, there's a sugya a few blocks later than this one in Shavuos, it goes through over there, the various places in Tanakh. We know the name Yudkei Vavkei is, so to speak, the Eibishter's personal name. So therefore, Lechora, that can't apply to any other being. What about Elikim, for example? There's places in Tanakh where the king means God, and there's places where it means God. And there's even places where it means judges. So the Gemara goes through it. There's Kael, also most of the other terms. So the Gemara goes through over there a bunch of examples of different places in Tanakh where the name Elikim means Hashem versus where it means Mahabil, other gods. Where Kael means Hashem versus where it means some, etc. It mentions over there, what about the story of Petel Micha? The story of Petel Micha over there where Micha takes silver, makes it into a statue, and he sets it up to worship over there, and he eventually gets, we talked the other day, he eventually gets Moshe and his grandson to be a Kohen, to be a minister for it. Later on, Shevet Dan go and steal it and set it up in their land in the north of Eretz Yisrael. In that whole parak, it uses the Eibishter's name, Yudkei Vavkei, a few times. And the Gemara says over there that Kol HaShem of Hamurim Micha Koil, that all the names that are used in connection with the story of Micha, all the names of Elikos that are used over there, are Koil, are non-sacred. They're not names of Hashem, because they refer to Micha's idol. So one way of looking at it is that means even the name Yudke Bavke over there, even when it says Yudke Bavke, which Lechora can only refer to the one Eveshir, no, even there, it means that Micha thought of the statue as being a representative of whatever, of Hashem, of Yudke Bavke. So therefore, even then, even if Moshe Rabbeinu had told them, only worship Yudke Bavke, they could still use an argument, you know what, fine, so we're calling this deity Yudke Bavke. He still wouldn't work, and that's why we ended up going through this whole discussion. Okay. Then our mission had continued. He said another example of a neder, which was a havai, which was an empty or exaggerated neder. What somebody says, if I didn't see a snake, if I didn't see a snake like the beam of an olive branch. And we're saying that that's a guzma, that there's no such thing. You ask, what do you mean, Eloi? You're telling me there's no snake of that size. There was a snake in the time of Shabu Malka, one of the kings of Persia in the time of Amoraim. Romu lay a huge snake. Shabu Malka was one of the kings of Persia. Persia in those times included Babel as well. So he ruled over the Jews of Babel. There's a couple of kings of that dynasty named Shabur. Most of the time in the Gemara, Shabur Malka refers to the first one of that name of that dynasty. He was in the time of Shmuel, and we find a few places in the Gemara where he was very friendly with Shmuel and the other Chacham. So it may mean him, it may mean there was a descendant of his also named Shabur who was in the time of Rava, who wasn't so friendly to Jewish people, whatever. Anyway. So there was a snake in the times of Shabur Malka. Romulay placed it Uvasa de Tivna. They gave it 13 troughs full of straw. Different explanations of what Uvasa means over here. The Ran says over here that it means that the Ran says over here that it means barns full. Other Mepharshim say it means troughs, and on the side over here it brings from the Aruch that they took animal skins and stuffed them with straw. So it would think that it's eating animals, whatever. And it ate all of them. According to the explanation that it was animal skin, the idea was they wanted to kill the snake, but because it was so large, they were afraid to go and approach it directly. What they did is they took these bundles of straw and hid inside them live coals. So eventually the snake is going to eat the straw, and eventually the coals are going to get into it also and burn it.
Hot coals.
Hot coals, yeah.
That's stupid. It's going
to
eat the hot coals.
What?
The snake is not stupid.
No, because they're hidden inside the straw. He's not going to see them until they're inside him.
Probably a
huge snake. Yeah, like a boa constrictor or something. Yeah. Come on. Okay, anyway, the point is that, yes, there can be very large snakes like that, as big as the beam of an olive branch. So what's the good, huh? Amar Shmuel b'toru. So Shmuel says, no, we're not talking about the size of the snake. We're talking about that he's saying that I saw a snake which is toru. Now, what is toru? There's a couple of different explanations. One is the Ran says that it means that it has cracks along its body. A second explanation is that it means the Rosh says that it means that it's flat. That's flat. No, there's no snake that's flat. And a third explanation that the Rashi brings over here is that it has spots. It has spots. What would be the comparison? In either case, the comparison to an olive press beam would be either it has cracks in it, because I guess it's more useful then for pressing the olive, because it's not smooth, or it's flat, because then it helps to press the olive, or it has spots, because olive juice and then oil or whatever squirts all over it. So what's so unusual about that? Kulu nashi mitrafi. All snakes are like that. Again, according to the various explanations. Either if you say it means spotted, or pretty much most snakes are spotted. If you say it means that it has cracks, if you look at the underside of a snake, it has these scale-like things on the belly of it. It's what it uses for traction to be able to get around. And if you say it means flat, the bottom is flat. The answer is agabe toruf kamrin. And we're talking about that he claimed that he saw a snake where the top of it is toruf. Again, according to all these three explanations, that's not going to happen. Okay, the Gemara asks, Velisti toruf? Fine, so why didn't it say straight out that he claimed that I saw a snake, which is toruf? Why say this roundabout way? Oh, there's one other explanation, actually. The Ran brings the fourth explanation from the Yerushalmi, sort of related to the flat explanation. The Yerushalmi seems to say that it means square. That square. In other words, a normal snake is rounded on top and flat on the bottom. He claims that he saw, like, the top of it is also squared off. which doesn't happen. No, in other words, he says that I saw, if you imagine this thing being much smaller, I saw a snake like this, which the Yerushalmi points out in that connection, the famous expression, Ein Meruba Mesheshes Mevredeshes. There's nothing in the natural world created square. And Siddhartha talks about the idea that that represents the idea that the Eibishter didn't create a world that's perfected, and he left it up to us to do. But they're not square either. Pointed, fine, but not square. Whatever, the Yerushalmi brings a couple of possibilities to try and disprove that, but it says none of them are exactly square on all six faces. It's kind of the bone, for example, in the ankle of an animal, which actually they used to use for dice, but it's rounded on one end. And a couple of other examples of this, whatever. Anyway, so Velisni... Yes, that's... Yes, okay. Velisni Toruf. So why doesn't the mission just say straight out Toruf? Why say this roundabout way Kurta space of God? The answer is Milta Agabor, because Kamash Kolan, the mission, by the way, wants to tell us an incidental other thing to Kurta space of God, Gabe Toruf, that you should expect that the beam of a base abad of an olive crest has the top of it as Toruf, according to the various explanations. Lamai Nafkimina, what's relevant to that? Lamecha Chomemser. It's relevant as far as buying and selling. Moimoloch, meaning as follows, Hamocha Kodas Beis Abad L'Chaber, if somebody sells somebody else an olive crest beam, E Gabi Toruf Ein, if the top of it is Toruf, then it's a valid sale. The Eloi Loi, and if not, then the other person can claim that I was defrauded. But I'm just summarizing it basically that if you sell somebody a Kodas Beis Abad, it can't just be you go to Home Depot and buy a piece of wood and claim this is a Kodas Beis Abad. It must be something that looks like a Kodas Beis Abad. So there we see in the Gemara that a Kodas Beis Abad is expected to be Toruf. Now we've gone through two of the types of nidorim that we said that are automatically bottled. We had nidre deruzin, the ones that are used at a bargaining chip, and nidre habai, the exaggerated ones. Now comes the third one, nidre shgogos, a nether of shgoga of inadvertent. One example is imachalti v'imshasisi. Suppose somebody says such and such should be also to me if I ate or if I drank. Later on, after making the neder, he remembers that, you know what, he did eat or he did drink. So that's one kind of shogig, that at the time he made the neder itself, he had forgotten the situation. A second time, shani oichol b'shani shogig. So what if he says a neder that such and such will be also to me if I eat or if I drink? Later on, he forgets that he eats or drinks. So here, the Rambam says this is a second kind of shogig. This is, he wasn't a shogig at the time he made the neder, but later on, when the neder would take effect, namely when he eats or drinks, he forgets that he had made the neder. That's called the shogig. So these are two different kinds of a shogig. And a third. Because an ordinary neder is a person says such and such is also to be. He was saying it's also based on a condition. And then he either forgot that the condition was already true, or he forgot later on and ended up doing the condition. That's different. Because it's a difference whether there's a condition or not. If I say this bread is also to me as a koinam, at that point, if I'm over on it, then that's Bal Yachol. If you forget, then that's it. But you're still over on the neder. You still need tahara for it. The thing is still also. You may not get malchus, fine for the shogeg, but Hugh was saying the neder is not chal in the first place. He says this bread should be also to me if I ate yesterday, and now he forgets that he actually did eat yesterday. Well, that bread never becomes also. As opposed to in the case where he partially says without any conditions this bread is also to me, and then he forgets to eat some of it. Fine, he ate some of it, but he still also eats the rest of it. The neder is still chal.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
It's a conditional thing.
But yeah, that's what we're saying, yeah. A third example. I'm a koinam ishti nenesli. What if a person says, a koinam that my wife should be also to have anav for me? Which, by the way, Tosfos points out of here, we have to be talking about a case where he's not meshugat to her, where he doesn't have the shibud to support her, because otherwise the neder couldn't be chal in the first place. We talked about this briefly before. Anyway, what happened? She gonva es kisi because she stole my wallet, but she hiksa es me because she hit my son. Vinoita, and later on he finds out. Shalei katsu vinoita shalei gonva. Later on he finds out she didn't hit the child, or she didn't steal the wallet. So then, that's a different kind of shogeg. He wouldn't have made the neder if he wouldn't have made the neder if he had known the facts. Yeah. Another example, what if he sees a bunch of people eating figs from a tree of his? He called out to them, those figs should be offered to you as a korban, because I don't want you eating my figs. It turns out that they were his father, or his brothers, or it turns out that there were other people with them. So there are two possible cases over here. One is he sees people who he doesn't recognize. Later on, he gets closer, he realizes they're actually my relatives. I would never have made the nether if I knew that they're at it then. Or the second possibility is it's his relatives plus some other people. So then maybe you should argue maybe the nether is chal on those other people. I know. So there we have a machlokes. That's how I saw when I was learning it. That's how I saw somebody. I don't remember who it was, but somebody explained it that way. Because the vote is if it's va'achiv, then that's an example of nidre shgagas. If it's an example of aviv va'achiv plus other people, then it's shgagas on them, but it's not shgagas on everybody else. So then you have the machlokes. The shama imim hen mutarim mashi ma masurim. The shama says only the father or the brothers will be mutar, because only they were the shgagas. Whereas everybody else would indeed be also, or Vissol, I'm in the veil of a turn, whereas Vissol says everybody is Moshe.
Why did you call them Nedev Out? You didn't know.
We're calling it Nedev Shkogos, same difference, yeah. The reason is, the reason for that last thing, the Ran says, it is a Torah, basically, because if he had known that his father or brothers with them, were with them, he would have explicitly said, everybody except my father or my brothers is also. Since he didn't, since he included everybody, then there was a Torah. So it's not Pivra Libeshavim. Therefore, the Neder is automatically bottled.
But it's not Shkogos.
But that's what we're saying. No, it's all related. That's what we're saying. That's another reason to say that it's two different cases, because the case of the father and the brothers is more of a shgaga. The case of his father and brothers plus other people is more of a toast. Yeah. The Ran goes on to say, by the way, that in the case of the wife, he would actually have to say, it's not with the case of the fig, automatically once he sees his father and his brother, then the nether is not chal, because the person, we can expect the person would not have wanted to ask of his father or his brothers for eating from his tree. Mashenkin, when it comes to the wife, maybe, on the other hand, maybe he did after all mention my wife, he did say that I'm madru my wife. So if he hadn't added the condition, there's no toes in the actual neder itself. There it's a matter of shgaga. There it's a matter of he thought that she had done such and such. So there's a difference between whether he mentioned them, whether he didn't mention them and didn't realize they were there, or whether he mentioned her but mentioned something which he thought she had done and really she hadn't. It's similar, but it's not the same thing. You might say Tana, Kishem Shin Nidre Shdragos Mutara, just like we learned previously about Habai, just as Nidorim of Shdragos are Mutter, Kach Shvuah Shdragos Mutara. So also, Shvuah of Shdragos is also Mutter, meaning again, that the Shvuah is not Chal. Whatever it was that the person asked himself to do with the Shvuah is not going to be Chal. And not only chal, we mean actually the example the Gemara is going to bring over here, you're not even chayav for a shvuah shav. You're not chayav for a full shvuah, if it turns out that it was b'shogeg. Heichi dami shvuah shavus, what's an example then of shvuah shavus? So then Rav Kahana and Rav Asi, for example, Rav Kahana and Rav Asi, who were two talmidim of Rav, hadein amar shvuah sa dehachi amar Rav, one would say, when they had a machlokes about what Rav had said, one of them would say a shvuah that Rav said such and such, the other one would say a shvuah that Rav said differently. Neither one is chayev, even if it turns out later on that one of them was mistaken. And in fact, when we learned this in Yavamas, we learned that there was an actual case over there where afterwards they went to Rav and he said that one of your understandings is correct and the other one is not. I think he said Rav Asi's understanding is correct, Rav Kahana's is not. But Rav Kahana is not in trouble for shvuah shav. The kol chabachada died in nafshe shapes hamishtava, because each one made a valid shvuah according to his knowledge at the time, according to his das at the time. Yeah. We said if it's only one person's das, that the average person wouldn't think that way. Here it's a reasonable supposition that this is what Rav meant. It's something if you polled a bunch of people, you would have a lot of people might think that way. It's a reasonable thing. After all, I mean, one of the Amoraim is not going to say something completely out of left field. So therefore that's fine. Each one of them made the Shavua on his own daf, and therefore and therefore they're not in trouble for it. Then we said raw ois and oichlin, that if he sees people eating from this fig tree, and we have the case over there where some of them are his father or brothers or other relatives, and others are strangers. And we said it's machlokes b'shamay b'tilo, whether only his relatives and mutter and everybody else is also or not. Tanan hasam. We learn later on in the Masechta, when we talk about the dinim of Pesach, post can be Shabbosus of Yom Tov. We can use the Pesach, the fact of Shabbos and Yom Tov. Namely, suppose, for example, a person made a neder, let's say, that I'm not going to eat meat or drink wine a whole year. When he comes to be Master Neder, we can use as a Pesach, did you realize that that's going to prevent you from eating meat and drinking wine on Shabbos and having Onim Shabbos? So you can do that. And once you can do that, Barishonu Hoyo Oimim, originally the Chacham used to say, fine, once you use it as a Pesach, Oisin Ayam Matarim Shakal Ayam Maturim, so fine, all the other days are, all those days, Shabbos and Yom Tov are Mutter, but all the other days remain after because the other days of the week, that condition, that consideration doesn't apply. Ad Shabbat of Akiva Volime, the third of Akiva came and taught. No, Neder, Shahutim Kase, Hutter Kulai. No, a Neder that part of it is canceled, all of it is canceled. So therefore, once the part relating to Shabbos and Yom Tov is canceled, automatically then everything else is canceled also. Now, again, the Ran points out this is a little bit different than the case in our Mishnah. The case in our Mishnah is that the neder is automatically bottled because if he had known that his father or brothers are there, he never would have made the neder. Here, a person knows that during the year there are Shabbos and Yom Tov. He just didn't take that into consideration when he made the neder. So therefore, fine. In the case of our Mishnah, neder is automatically bottled. You don't need to do Atzeres Nedarim for it. The case over there involving a year and involving Shabbos and Yom Tov, you are going to need Atzeres Nedarim. Just the Rav can use this Pesach for Atzeres Nedarim. But it's a valid neder until that point. So the question is, if we're saying in our Mishnah in Machlokes B'Shamah B'Tilal on this point, then what do we mean that the Chachamim originally used to say that part of the neder is valid, part not, and sort of Akiva said not? Does that mean the Chachamim up until that point held like B'Shamah? There's a few possibilities. The Ran says that indeed maybe the Chachamim held that B'Shamah B'Tilal did not argue on. Actually, the Tosfos says that. The Chachamim may have held there was never any machlokes about this until Rav Akiva came and explained to them actually there was machlokes about this and we should go like this here. The Ran gives a different possibility that even within what Vesilil is saying, Eva Ve'Eva Mutarin, you can still have the distinction, like we just said, between, for example, the case where he would never have made the neder if he knew his father was there, versus here where he made the neder knowing there are Shabbos and Yom Tovim in the year and he just didn't take that into consideration. We continue tomorrow, Rosh Hashanah.